Chapter 5. Sylvia Hensel was exactly where the ladies had predicted she'd be, buzzing around the community center like an agitated bee. Nance caught up with her outside the main office and convinced her to have a seat where they could all talk. The center was quiet and empty, and a little ominous given the police crime scene tape on the door to the pie room. Normally, there would be people about, because there was usually a full calendar of activities. But apparently, people were avoiding the place after what had happened to Mary. Nance chose a spot in the main room where they'd set up for dinner. All but one of the round tables had been folded and stacked along the wall. Lexi assumed the white tablecloths had been sent to the cleaners. The long tables she'd set up for the buffet were gone, too. Rows of folded chairs stacked in their place. Today, with the silence and lack of people, it was quite a different vibe from the night of the party. More somber. Though Lexi thought the scent of roast beef and pie still lingered. The carpet silenced their footsteps as they all pulled chairs around the one remaining table. Lexi hadn't really paid much attention to Sylvia at the party. Mary had hired her to do the catering, and all the instructions at the event had come from her. This was the first time that Lexi was really getting a good look at Sylvia. She was a well-kempt woman with dyed dark brown hair cut and styled in a neat bob. Her makeup was light, and from the immovable expanse of her forehead, Lexi thought she might have had a few Botox injections. Diamond earrings glittered from her lobes, and she was clad in upscale department store garb. It looked as if Sylvia had the means to keep herself preserved for a long time to come. She kept a tissue clutched in her hand and frequently used it to dab the tears from her cheeks. With her other hand, she fiddled with the pearls around her neck.
"I'm sorry,"
she sniffled loudly once they were all seated.
"I'm just so upset about what happened to poor Mary yesterday. I can't believe she's gone."
More sniffling and dabbing with the tissue.
"I had just been talking with her in the office shortly before she was killed."
Sylvia shook her head, giving a visible shiver.
"Mary said she had to ensure the caterers had everything they needed for the contest. She asked me to check on that cranky old Chandler Bennington while she did that, to make sure he was ready for his presentation and to get the bibs for the contest."
Her voice caught on a sob.
"I should have stopped her, or gone with her. Maybe if I had, she'd still be alive. The police were just here questioning me about all of this again, making me relive each awful moment."
"I'm so sorry for your loss, dear." Nance patted her hand gently, giving Lexi a quick glance as she did so. "I know you and Mary were good friends. Did you happen to see anyone else milling around the offices at the time Mary left you to check on the caterers?"
"No,"
Sylvia shrugged, frowning down at her hands clasped in her lap.
"Well, no one except Howard."
Nance's gaze darted to the ladies, her eyebrows raised before continuing her questioning.
"Had Mary and Howard been having any difficulties in their relationship that you know of?"
Sylvia scowled.
"Well, I really can't talk out of school. Even if I knew something about the relationship, Mary was my friend. Secrets like that demand discretion. Not that I knew anything, mind you. Oh, it's just all so terrible."
She dissolved into sobs once more.
"Yes, dear. But Mary's been murdered."
Nance waited until Sylvia's tears subsided.
"If there was ever a time to divulge something, anything out of the ordinary, it's now."
Sylvia twisted her pearl necklace so tight, Lexi feared it might break.
"You don't honestly think Howard might have had something to do with Mary's death, do you?"
She blinked at them for a moment, her face contorted with grief. Well, as contorted as it could be with an immovable forehead.
No, he couldn't have. I refuse to believe it.
She patted her nose with her tissues.
I mean, he did just buy that new term life insurance policy from Dottie's grandson when he came around selling them here at the center. You ladies remember that, right?
Nans nodded.
Yes, it was a few weeks ago, right?
Sylvia nodded.
Yes. Now, he would hardly have done that if they didn't get along, would he?
She exhaled slowly.
I'm not sure about that, dear.
Were they arguing?
No, not that I know of.
Sylvia crumpled the tissue in her fist.
I will say that I had been feeling like something wasn't right between them for some time now, as much as it pains me to say.
Not any one thing I can put my finger on. Just a sense you get when you know two people so well.
Lexi locked eyes with Nans, while Ruth, Helen, and Ida leaned forward in their chairs. Could this be their first clue?
I understand what you mean, Sylvia dear.
Nans patted her hand again, leaning closer to create a sense of intimacy.
Now, you said Mary told you she was going to check with the caterers and put you in charge of handling Chandler Bennington, is that correct?
Yes.
Sylvia dabbed her cheeks again.
Mary usually dealt with Bennington, but she passed that task off to me. I wasn't looking forward to it. I'd heard he was obnoxious. Lucky thing I never had to talk to him. The announcement was made, and then there was no reason to.
What about the trophy for the contest winner? Lexi asked when Nans paused. That wasn't originally in the pie room, yet it was found near Mary's body. She left out the part about it being used as the murder weapon, hoping to save them from more hysterics. Where was that kept?
In Mary's office, Sylvia said. That's what she went back there to get.
So Mary had it with her, then makes sense.
Nans patted Sylvia's hand again before pushing her chair back.
Well, we don't want to keep you. I'm sure you're busy.
Sylvia gave them a small smile and stood.
Yes, lots to do here, even though...
She let her words trail off, her eyes misting again. Lexi, Ruth, Ida, and Helen all stood.
Thanks so much for speaking with us, Sylvia. And please let me offer our condolences again on your loss,
Nan said as they all started out of the room.
No problem. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to check on a few more things in my office.
Sylvia headed down the hall, leaving them standing near the closet in the foyer near the front door. Ida leaned back so she could watch Sylvia. The moment Sylvia walked into her office, Ida turned back to them and whispered,
"See, I was right. It's always the husband."
"Not necessarily, Ida. We must not make assumptions."
Nans walked slowly toward the front door with Lexi and the ladies beside her.
"Let's consider what we do know."
She stopped just shy of the door and turned to them.
"We know that Mary was going back to her office to get the trophy. She must have succeeded because that's what she was killed with," Ida said.
"Why go to the pie room?"
Helen asked.
"Maybe to check on something?" Lexi suggested. "Sylvia said she was going to check with the caterers, and she'd gone back to get the trophy."
Nans looked at Lexi.
"Did she ever check with you?"
Lexi shook her head. "I guess she never made it. Maybe she was looking for me in the pie room when she was killed."
"So the killer skulked down the hallway, saw that she was in the dark pie room alone, and whack!"
Ida made a vigorous clubbing motion.
"Or
The killer lured her into the pie room, Ruth suggested.
Or was already in there, waiting, Nan said. Maybe the killer was there for another reason, and Mary surprised him. Caught him in the act, and he had to kill her.
The act of what?
Helen asked. Messing with the pies.
The scowl on Ida's face and the way she said it made pie messing sound downright felonious.
I hardly think getting caught messing with pies is reason for murder.
Nan's glanced back at the hallway.
Interesting thing, though. That hall leads to three places: the kitchen, the pie room, and the offices. Not many people other than Mary, Sylvia, and Lexi would have had a reason to go to any of those rooms. Lexi, did you see anyone in the hallway who shouldn't have been there?
The hallway was empty when I went down to check the pie room. Before that, I was fixing the burner under the chafing dish and wasn't looking, Lexi said.
But Sylvia just said she saw Howard, so I was right, Ida said. He was the only one down there, so he must have killed Mary.
Nan's pressed her lips together.
It's something to investigate, for sure. But we need to find out more about the timing. It's not unreasonable to think Howard would go down the hall to visit his wife. Sylvia was visibly shaken and might not have remembered correctly when she saw him. We need to find out who else was in that hallway.
Lexi glanced at Helen, who was looking down at her feet.
Oh, no.
Ruth's gaze was fixed on the long, narrow window beside the door, where Lexi saw a short, curvy woman with pinkish-blonde hair permed into tight little curls. She had to be 80, and she strutted to the door as if she were heading to the buy one, get one free sale at the orthopedic shoe store. Ida sighed.
It's Barb Klasky. She's the community busybody. Always running her mouth about someone else's business.
Considering some of the people Lexi had met at the retirement community so far, that meant something. And considering their current situation, she seemed the perfect sort to talk to. Barb whipped open the door and squinted inside, her face lighting up when she saw them.
Goodness, I'm so glad you're here, Mona, Barb said, charging up to Nan's. I know you and your friends have a reputation for investigating crimes. Are you here snooping for clues today?
She smiled over at Lexi.
And Lexi, how are you?
Great, Lexi said. Barb turned back to Nan's.
Tell me what you're up to today, Mona.
You're right. We are investigating what happened to poor Mary.
Nan's gave them all a look, then nodded.
We've heard that Mary's husband, Howard, might have been involved somehow.
Oh, my, no.
Barb shook her head vigorously.
It couldn't possibly have been Howard.
Why not?
Ida asked, frowning.
I saw Howard yesterday, right before the terrible incident, and he had a gift in his hand for her.
Now, what kind of man would give his wife a gift right before he killed her?
Barb's gaze darted to each of them for effect.
Not a decent man. And poor Howard is nothing if not decent.
Giving an unconvinced-sounding snort, Ida crossed her arms and tapped the toe of her orthopedic shoe on the carpeting.
What kind of gift was it?
I'm not sure, but it was a small box.
Barb flashed a sly smile.
In my experience, the best gifts always come in the smallest boxes, if you know what I mean. It was wrapped beautifully, too, in pink flamingo paper with a big frothy bow.
Ruth narrowed her dark gaze.
Are you sure?
Yes, positive.
Barb straightened.
If you don't believe me, ask Betty Farmer. She was with me when Howard walked by with it, and we both made a comment about how nice it was that a man would continue to buy his wife gifts after 40 years of marriage.
Nance exchanged a glance with Lexi at the mention of Betty's name. Interesting.
I should say so, Barb said.
So,
who do you have on your list?
Well, I really couldn't say. We don't have anything positive yet. Too early to say for sure. Is there anything else you can remember from last night? Anything that seemed off or anyone who behaved oddly? Nance asked. Barb pressed her lips together and thought for a second.
No, can't say as I do.
Well, if you think of something, let us know, will you? Nance headed toward the door in a subtle attempt to let Barb know the conversation was over. Barb was the type that would talk all day if you let her.
Will do,
Barb called after them as they headed into the parking lot. Lexi fished in her bag for the key, glancing over at Ruth, who was staring at Helen. Helen had remained unusually quiet since they'd arrived at the center. Something was definitely up. Lexi just hadn't had time to figure out exactly what. She wasn't sure what to make of it. Surely, if Helen had seen something pertaining to the murder, she wouldn't hide it from them.
What's wrong with you? Ruth finally asked Helen with her usual bluntness. Not feeling well?
Poor thing is probably starved for carbs, Ida said. Maybe you need to break down and have a donut or something. Get back to a regular diet again.
Helen gave a dismissive wave and mumbled something under her breath before turning away. Lexi couldn't help wondering if her pensive mood had more to do with her being in the hallway just before Mary was killed than with low blood sugar. Had she seen something? Was she afraid to tell them? Lexi finally dug out her car fob and pressed the unlock button. The car chirped, and Nance grabbed the passenger side door.
When do you pick up Sprinkles?
Nance asked. Lexi looked at her watch. Not for another hour.
So we can verify with her about the gift then. In the meanwhile, there's one thing we need to do.
What's that? Ruth asked.
Why, go to Lexi's bakery, of course. We can chow down on a few pastries. Helen can improve her disposition. And then we can pack a nice box of goodies to take along with our condolences to the grieving widower.